The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on WTBR-FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we have with us Natalie Monroe. Thank you, Natalie, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Roberta, for having me.
Like I said, Natalie, you look absolutely amazing. Your skin looks absolutely beautiful. So definitely continue to get those rays of sunshine in because you are glowing. So I'd like to tell everyone a little bit about Natalie. Natalie is the D&I operations specialist and ERG coordinator at General Dynamics Mission Systems. And so in addition to her role at General Dynamics, Natalie is the proud founder of Embrace and Empower, Inc., a nonprofit organization currently in its startup stages, dedicated to providing culturally sensitive and inclusive mentorship, education, and advocacy for breast cancer patients, survivors, previvors, and caregivers. I haven't heard that particular term before, so definitely want to learn more about that later on in our talk. But Natalie, thank you so much. Let's get started.
Okay.
So, you know, I always like to set the stage and kind of go back a little bit to the beginning, just to get a good sense of the person that I'm talking to. So you currently reside in the Adirondacks with your husband, your four children, and your granddaughter. But that's not where your story began. You are not like an Adirondacks girl.
No, not at all.
So you're like, you have strong Berkshire roots, but you're originally from Springfield.
Yes. So I was born and raised in Springfield, Mass. Grew up there, went to church there. And then later on, I moved to the Berkshires. And I, you know, have strong family roots in Springfield. I spent almost an equal amount of time in Springfield as I did in Pittsfield.
Okay. Okay. And when did you move to the Berkshires?
So around 1995, I moved to the Berkshires. My father had passed away a few years before that. Mm-hmm. And my mom had passed away a long time ago. She passed away when I was 15. And so it was just me and my sister. My sister was already living in Great Barrington with my grandmother, who everybody lovingly called Dodo. So she was out there with her. And I found myself needing some place to go. And so I moved to Great Barrington with them.
Okay. How old were you at the time?
So I was probably 20. I was around 22, actually.
22, okay.
Yeah. So I moved out there and, you know, I loved it. But I always used to get excited about the Berkshires. You know, that's one big thing. When I was, we used to spend summers out there, and my grandparents worked at Reed's Cleaners in Great Barrington. Mm-hmm. And so I would always get excited. My dad would wake us up as soon as we hit the bushes that had the GB. And so that was my excitement. You know, I loved going out there and visiting. And so I was really familiar with Great Barrington, but not so much Pittsburgh.
Now, I have to ask, because you were in your 20s when you moved out here, that's you're very aware of what a community would have and what it doesn't have. And was it hard for you? I mean, was it hard for you to make the actual leap to be here full time versus what you saw in Springfield in a bigger city environment?
No, I would say, because I was still young and trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
So I had no idea of what really my community in Springfield offered me besides the stuff that I kind of grew up knowing, like the Urban League, my church, mm-hmm. you know, dance and activities, all that kind of stuff. And so when I moved to Great Barrington, you know, it had wonderful views and history, culture, that kind of stuff. But I didn't really appreciate all of that stuff back
mm-hmm,
then either.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at Filene's at the Berkshire Mall.
Yeah.
And commuting. And then, we'll get into this part later, but I found out I was pregnant. So I decided I needed a place of my own and I moved out to Pittsfield.
Okay. Okay. You know, I think everyone has a, a person or someone or something that, helps them acclimate to a new environment. And, of course you had your grandparents, and of course you mentioned the culture and all of that that you didn't necessarily appreciate at that moment. Did you find a community, a network of folks that you were able to tap into? Did you have like your tribe of friends or whoever that said, you know what, Natalie, you have found your place in the Berkshires. We are here to help you acclimate and just feel at home.
Yes, actually, I did. So, when I was in Great Barrington with my grandmother and my sister, I kind of hung out with her high school friends. She went to Monument, so I met a lot of them, and we hung out together. But then, when I moved to Pittsfield and I was looking for a place, it was hard. But I found Redfield House. So I don't know if you're familiar with Redfield House, but it is a supportive housing program for young mothers and their children. And it contained about 24 residences, I think. And the first floor was for teen parents. So each floor had, like, I don't know, I don't know if you want to call it a house mother sort of thing. Rebecca Vale was the one on our floor. I lived on the third floor, and that became my community. So I joined the resident council. We had, like, this resident council. I attended parenting groups and did all this other stuff. Those people that I lived with are still my friends to this day. Those women that we raised our kids together, my kids are still friends with their kids. So, everybody's kind of moved on to different areas in their life, but we all stay in touch, whether it's Facebook, getting together in Pittsfield sometimes. Those women really kind of helped me, supported me, and me about the Berkshire.
That's important. And you know what? That having that environment, and I am familiar with that house. I think having that built-in community where, like you said, you have this network of women who are there to support one another, and you need that, especially at that time in your life. You need exactly that. Because it's either you have two ways to go. You can either go up with that support, or if you don't have it, then there are also detrimental effects, right? Because you don't have that support and you don't have that encouragement. So that's awesome. One, that y'all are still talking and that you're still connected. I love that. I love that. So, Natalie, you have this great support system. You have this group of women that are like, yes, you can do anything. You are mom, right? You are now in this phase of life where it's not just you. Tell me a little bit about what you envisioned for your life and you and your little baby at the time, and how you were able to carve out a path to say, this is the future that I want for myself and my child.
So honestly, I had no clue as to what my path was. I have always worked, and so working was not an issue. I did end up having to leave school when I moved, before actually I moved. And so, I knew that was something that I wanted to finish. And I really just kind of, like, I think, meeting the women there, joining the resident council, I think was very instrumental in teaching me how to give back and how to be a part of the community. Initially I just thought, I want to go to school, I want to work. I really didn't have a path. When I was in college, at Hampton University, before I was majoring in international business, had no idea what that was. It just sounded good, and then as I grew and learned, I realized I really had a knack for administrative work. So I went to Mildred Ely in Pittsfield. I went to a few different schools online, and at the end of the day, I found jobs in various different, businesses. But the ones that really stuck with me, the were the administrative jobs, and that's what I really liked. I liked being able to help, my boss or people. And so I really thought that was my niche. And then later on, I decided that HR, human resources, was really what I wanted to get into. And so I I kind of dug around there for a little while, but not really sure what I wanted to do until, as you know, obviously many years later. But yeah, I think that really kind of settling down in Pittsfield and finding that community. Berkshire Center, it used to be called Berkshire Center for Families and Children. One of the I want to say her name was Paula. I can't remember her last name, but they were just very instrumental in getting us out there. We would talk to the community about Red House and about the positives, and so I think all of that kind of lent itself to learning more about Pittsfield and what I wanted to do.
When I think about what you just said, Natalie, I think about where you are now and a retrospective of that Natalie at that time, looking back at young Natalie with her little baby, because now you're a seasoned mom, you're a seasoned professional, and looking back at that young Natalie, could you ever have imagined where you are now? Could you ever have imagined the life that you live now back then?
No. When I was younger, my dream was go to school, get a degree, get married, have kids, do something, I don't know. And then, when I found myself a single mom, I thought, okay, well, maybe marriage isn't in the picture. And, it was taking forever to finish school and do these things. And so I was like, I never would have thought that my life would have been kind of on this trajectory. And now I love it. I don't think I would change anything, because all of the experience that I've had have made me the person that I am and put me where I am now. But definitely, I think moving to Redfield was one of the most beneficial things that I've done in my life.
And is Redfield is still in operation today,
It
right?
is, but it's just apartments now. So it's
Oh.
not right. So they don't have that anymore. I don't know if they still have a teen parent program. They used to have that separate, but yeah, as far as like a place for single moms anymore, I don't think they do that. And what I liked about it was that, like I said, they offered classes. It wasn't just because when I was a single mom at that time, I had no clue what I was doing. I had never really been out on my own before. I didn't know how to be a parent. I didn't know how to do a lot of things. And, they were there for the struggles of, the baby crying in the middle of the night, when I went into labor, all this kind of stuff. And not just the staff, but my friends there as well.
So, all right. So you have this great foundation and it has taken you, it allowed you to find your path. I mean, you knew what you liked, you know what you like to do. And then you talk about being in the series of jobs. And so, you're currently with General Dynamics. When did you arrive at General Dynamics, or was there a path to get to General Dynamics over time?
Yes. So initially, I started out in working for a company called Manpower that used to be downtown in Pittsfield, and I did temp jobs through them, mostly administrative stuff. And I was working at MCLA as an administrative assistant to the education department chair when I saw a job at General Dynamics open up, and I applied. And that was 2011, and there were actually two jobs, and I applied for both of them. And I got the one. It was an executive assistant for one of the VPs. And I started working there. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. I thought, hey, I hit the jackpot. I was making serious money. The kids were in daycare. I could afford things, and it was all good. I have grown to love the job. I love the people. I'm not saying it's not without its, issues, as any job is. But, that's the second part of the family that I have in the Berkshires. So, I had my community from Redfield, then I started my job at General Dynamics, and they're like family. I mean, they really are like a family.
Wow. So, and tell me a little bit about the work that you do currently, because you have this great title. So, talk a little bit about your work.
So we have a D&I, diversity and inclusion team of two people, myself and my boss, Andrea. So I help support her with, diversity and inclusion efforts. We do a lot with unconscious bias training, getting people in to talk to employees about different aspects of diversity and inclusion. And then a few years ago, we started employee resource groups at General Dynamics, which are basically groups that people can join. They're employee-led and they are revolve around cultures or heritages or things that people have in common. We currently have eight employee resource groups. We have and the most recent one, I just started a new one for parents and caregivers, being another, I have three older children who are 28, 23, and 21. But now I'm a new mom again. I have a 3-year-old and my 4-year-old granddaughter that I'm raising. Things have so changed from when I was a mom back then to now. So, I really feel like I felt like it was necessary to kind of seek that support in being a new parent again. And so I started the Parents and Caregivers ERG. That's one of our eight. We've got a Hispanic ERG, a multicultural LGBTQ ERG. And so I really do a lot of work with the ERGs and helping them put together events for employees, helping to bring the community, Pittsfield community, into the company to talk about diversity in the community and how employees can get involved, especially supporting like our military, the Pride Parade, the Pride Festival, so I love being able to give back to the community in that aspect. I also lead our employee engagement team in Pittsfield. So we do a lot of, when I first started, our employee engagement team was all about just this one event, the holiday party. And so now we do a holiday party, a summer picnic. We do strawberry picking for families. We have baseball night at the, we've done the North Adams Steeplecats. We've done it at Wapona Park. But I feel like a big part of that is trying to pull in some of the local businesses and kind of just share the wealth that way. Especially during COVID, we did a lot of virtual activities, and we did a lot of paint and sips with the local artist downtown. I think her name is Michelle. And she would send us supplies and ship them to us, and we'd get them out to our employees. And we did stuff with a local baker, a local flower shop. So, I really feel like we have an opportunity to give back, and I love that about my job, whether it's D&I, employee engagement, et cetera.
Well, Natalie, you talked extensively about all the things you're doing, and I have to ask, when did you find time to go back to school? Because in the middle of raising a beautiful family and a job that really probably has a lot of demands on your time, when did you find the time in the mix of all of this to say, I want to go back and finish up my degree?
Yeah, I don't know. It was I don't know when I found the time, probably in the middle of the night when I should have been sleeping. I was up writing papers, but I feel like I've been going to school all my life, honestly. I have been going from one school to another, and at some point, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna finish this if it kills me. It took me 30 years, but I did.
Good for you.
I wanted to show my kids you need to finish what you start, and you can get your degree no matter what age you are. So, that was kind of the motivation to keep going with it, even after, stops and starts and stops and starts and all these different things. So, and last year I graduated with my bachelor's in strategic human
Congratulations.
resources from Bay Path University. Thank you, thank you.
Yes.
And I specifically chose a school that was local. It's in Longmeadow, so it's out towards the Springfield area, because I wanted to walk across that stage. There was no way I was not going to walk after all the hard, after all the hard work I've been putting in, after all the effort, time away from my kids, my family, late nights, everything. I wanted people to see me walk across that stage.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. It is such, it's a thrill. And you talk about that sacrifice. And I know definitely all the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into a lot of it. And you definitely feel torn. And you know, I think when I ask that question, how do you find the time? Like it's in some ways it's a little bit of a misnomer, right? Because you never quite find the time. You make
Right.
it, right?
Right.
You have to figure it out. You make it, and it somehow you get it. But it's never quite just there waiting for you to say, hey, just, you know, here's an empty hour. I have nothing absolutely going on. I'm just going to fill it with some reading and there you go.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it works. You have to, there's a lot of grit and a lot of sacrifice. And you know, on the other side, when you're on the other side and you're reaping the rewards of that, you know, a lot of times people don't see the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. They don't see everything that you just described, those sleepless nights, the times when you can't make a game or you can't do something because you have to study or write that paper. So,
Right. Or when I'm calling my sister going, Leah, I've got a paper to write, help, she was really my sounding board, and she was
yeah.
also going to school at the same time.
Yeah.
So, that kind of helped. At times we would help each other out with homework, or, if she didn't understand something, or if I had a question about something. So, having the support of family and friends is really important when you're doing that and
Yes.
when you're going back to school.
Well, you know, Natalie, you know, but before we go any further, I want to take a quick 30-second break, and then we'll be right back.
What exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Okay. For my listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Natalie Monroe. She is the D&I Operations Specialist and ERG Coordinator at General Dynamics Mission Systems. And Natalie is also the founder of Embrace and Empower Inc., a nonprofit organization. And Natalie, we're about to segue into why that latter role is so important, because not only did you have a major accomplishment in 2023, but it was also a big year for you because you were diagnosed with breast cancer. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I was actually preparing for weight loss surgery at the end of 2022. And I had the surgery scheduled for the December. I was all set to go. And I had a disagreement with my doctor, and I was like, okay, let me start someplace else. Well, in the meantime, I found a lump in my breast, and I went to my primary care physician, and I had her check it out. She's like, okay, we need to get a, mammogram, a biopsy, all this good stuff. And I had had my mammogram earlier that year. And so, I got the phone call on January 30th that yes, it is cancer. And I was shocked. All I could do was cry. And, I really didn't know what to think. And then a few days later, I got another call because they had biopsied my other side, this is my right side, and found out I had a totally different type of cancer in the other breast. So,
Two types of cancers going on at the same time. Okay. All right. Okay.
So, I went to Dana-Farber on my birthday, actually on the 16th of February, for a second opinion. And, they kind of confirmed what my oncologist here in Glens Falls had told me. And I was just, again, in shock. And I had never known anybody who had breast cancer. So I didn't know even who to talk to. I think I just kind of, told my husband when he came home and cried and
What
yeah.
was there a history of any kind of cancer though in your family?
So not that I know of. My mom, she died when I was 15. So, and my aunt has already passed away. My grandparents are gone. So there's really not anybody for me to ask. I did, they do have you go through genetic testing. And it was found out that I do have the BRCA2 gene. So, that means that, it is genetic for me. And my sister was able to get tested. She does not have it. But that's where the whole term previvor comes in. That would be my children, because now they have to get tested, including my son, early because I carry that mutation.
All right. So you confirmed, you got the confirmation. You have not just one cancer, but two types of cancer going on simultaneously. Did you have to have an aggressive form of treatment? If you don't mind me asking, what stage were you in?
So they were both stage two. So the right side was an actual lump, right near my nipple, and I could feel it. And so, that's why, obviously I went. The other one, there was nothing to be felt or seen by the naked eye. But when you look at your mammogram, sometimes they talk about microcalcification. And it turns out that the left side had both sides have them, but the left side, the microcalcifications were not benign as we had thought. They were actually cancerous. So my right side, I had invasive ductal carcinoma stage two. It was ER and PR negative, but HER2 positive. The left side was invasive lobular carcinoma stage two, and it was ER and PR negative, but HER2, no, ER and PR positive, but HER2 negative. So the right side is what drove my treatment because it had a very aggressive, it was a very aggressive form of cancer. And when I had my mammogram in January, there was nothing. And then all of a sudden in November, there's more. And then, when you get your lab work and pathology and all that back, they tell you, like, okay, they give you this number and it's a Ki-67 number and it's supposed to be like, less than 10%. And if it's like 15 to 30%, that means it's aggressive. Mine was like 85%. And so, yeah, the other side was really low, but, it really kind of just shocked me. I'm like, not one, but two different types just living in my body, going about their business, and I had no idea.
How did you, knowing that you had to get this form of, you had this aggressive cancer that was sort of leading the your treatment plan, what did life look and feel for you in those days? I mean, your family responsibilities don't go away. What was the management of that like? How did you manage and what got you through?
So my family is what got me through. And I, it looks like a lot of craziness in the beginning. Doctor's appointment, test after test after test, PET scans, CAT scans, MRI. And I had really just started to kind of settle into this next chapter of my life, right? So I got this right before I turned 50, this diagnosis. But just a few years before, I had met my husband in 2018. We got married and had a baby in 2021. In 2022, I got my dream job in HR. My first thoughts were, why me? Why? What's, and then my next thought was, what's my game plan? Right. And I also wondered because my husband and I did IVF, and I wondered if that had anything to do with it. And that was the other piece, I guess, that kind of kept me up at night. Like, did I do something to cause this or worsen it or anything like that? So that's kind of where I was going. As far as treatment went, so all of this happened in January and February. I started chemo in March 1st. everything just kind of went so quickly. Like, okay, you've got this diagnosis, and it's a kind of a cross between quick and a waiting, right? You're waiting for results. The treatment happens quickly. You're waiting again for more results. It's that, you know, so it moves quick. So I did my chemo. My doctor was like, initially he told me I was going to have chemo, surgery, and radiation. And I ended up just having chemo and the surgery. So I had 6 months of, or I think 4 months of chemo, but six treatments. And, you know, I had to deal with my hair falling out and my skin and my stomach and everything else. I had to go to the hospital 3 times a week for infusions because I was still dehydrated from the chemo. And then, you know, meet with the nutritionist, the genetic counselor, the psychiatrist, like I said, ultrasound, PET scans, MRIs, make sure it's not spreading, you know, and has it gone into lymph nodes? Has it spread to other areas of my body? And so I did all of that, and really, you know, my husband was right there with my sister was right there with me. My older kids were right there, like willing to do whatever I needed. And if it hadn't been for my husband, I don't know what I would have done, you know, especially trying to take care of two little kids and work. I did call Lisa Finneran. She's the VP of Engineering at General Dynamics Mission Systems. And I think 2022, maybe she had talked about her journey with breast cancer. And like I said, I didn't know anybody, and not one person who'd had breast cancer, which is shocking considering that 1 in 8 women will get it. But I reached out to her and I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to even start. And she's like, you know, relax. She's like, don't worry about work. She said, work will be here when you are done with your treatment and everything else. And, you know, that was, of course, another concern, right? Money coming into the household and all that stuff and my job. And so, yeah. But I reached out to her and she was very supportive. Actually, all of General Dynamics was. And I also reached out to Chef Nick Moulton. I don't know if you've heard of him. He works at Meze.
I feel like I've heard the name before.
Yeah. So, and I don't know him, right? But he had shared on Facebook a while back that he had had brain cancer. And so, you know, that was one other person I knew. So I was like, you know, hey, I sent him a message on Facebook Messenger, like, I was just diagnosed with breast cancer. I don't know what to do. He sent me this long message back and was like, you know, you've got this. I'm here for you. What can I do? Blah, blah. I was just shocked by his support and understanding. And by the support of my VP of engineering. And then, of course, you know, my boss and everybody else, you know, I joined Facebook groups, you know, Facebook groups for Black women, Facebook groups for integrative healing, Facebook groups for, you know, like all different Facebook groups, first dates and everything. It was a lot.
And did you feel like through connecting, it seems like you went into go mode? You know, one of the things that you first said, Natalie, at the very beginning, you said, what's my game plan? And it seems like you went into a go mode that just, you said, I need to do this. Did you know instinctively, you know, just as how you had that Redfield community way back when, it almost seems that you needed now to refashion and get into a new community that could help support you through this phase of your journey? Did you find that with the groups that you had been a part of?
No, not really.
Okay.
You know, the groups were helpful. They really were. But it's not the same as connecting with somebody in person. And, you know, a lot of the questions that I had, I felt like they were also being asked in the group. So it wasn't like there were really answers. You know, so I was just kind of confused and, you know, where do I go to get this information? Luckily, my sister had a soror had gone through it and she put me in touch with her the night before my mastectomy surgery. So I talked to her just kind of about that, you know, but there really wasn't anybody local that I could think of, you know, that I could go to. The nurse navigators at the hospital were great. They were helpful. But again, it's not the same. So I did a lot of research on my own, you know, especially as far as finding, you know, support financially, because, you know, when you can't work, you know, there's that whole aspect of losing an income. And so there are a lot of grant places that, you know, will grant you money, help with stuff like that. I got involved with an organization that helped pay for childcare. One other organization helped pay for transportation. But I had to do a lot of that digging on my own. And there are a lot of places that you would never suspect that offer help. You know, there's a breast cancer group for gamers. Like, you know, so it's just literally, you know, finding that information out there and figuring it out.
And that laugh was like not, this is a very serious topic, but I was just laughing at the specificity of I would never think that it was that specific, but that to me is so interesting.
Yeah, me either, right? But when I was looking at all the grants and stuff, it's like, okay, do I qualify? And, you know, so some of them, yes, you do. And then you're repeating your story 12 million times. You got to send it. So it's a lot of work that you still have to do. You know,
and you're still going through treatment. So you're basically your own little advocate. You're finding this money while you're tired.
Right. Luckily, I will say that we have two great benefits at General Dynamics Mission Systems that I took advantage of, which is Included Health. They offer a second opinion based on your medical record. So like you send them your information, they give you their opinion. It's a panel of doctors. So I actually had like three opinions. So I, you know, got my original, then went to Dana-Farber for a second opinion. And I also sent them my information to get the, if everybody was in agreement, and they were. And then the other is our employee assistance program. I was talking to them. We get 8 free sessions a year. And I was like, okay, I need to talk to somebody who, you know, is not my family, and just kind of get my feelings out. Because, you know, you're ill and it's a lot for you, but it's also a lot for the other people in your life. It's a lot for them to have to deal with, knowing what's going on with you, knowing they can't really do anything to help you besides, you know, the little things here and there. And so I really stress taking advantage of any health benefits that people have. We also had like critical illness insurance that came in handy, but, you know, really just finding that community, it was hard. And that's what prompted me to kind of start Embrace and Empower.
I was just about to ask that, because it seems like that was the impetus. And so did you decide to start that while you were doing treatment or after? Like, when did you actually establish your group?
So I started with this last year towards the end of my journey. So I had finished chemo, had my bilateral mastectomy, and was getting kind of back into the swing of things with work and everything. But I still had so many questions, right? My hair hadn't grown back. You know, I had scars on my skin and I wanted answers. Like, what is my hair going to look like? Can I cut it? Can I, you know, color it? What can I do to it? How do I get rid of the keloids on my skin because of, you know, the surgery and, you know, different experiences like that. And so I, you know, found a black and brown skin women that have cancer. And I found that group. And even in that group, there were still a lot more questions than answers. And so I was talking with John Lewis from Lectures, and he was telling me about this accelerator program. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a good thing, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, you have to have kind of an idea of what you're going to do. And I went into the program not knowing what my idea was. I said, I have a few things I could do. And then I was just like, you know, what really kind of resonates with me and what am I concerned with right now? And that was the breast cancer. And, you know, I, even to now, I still kind of think like to myself, should I be doing this? You know, is this really? And I went to church last Sunday, or the Sunday before, not my church. I'm trying to find a church, but I went to church and the message just kind of spoke to me. It was like, what is your purpose? What are you planning to do? And I thought, goodness gracious, this is saying do it. If there's nothing else in this world telling me to do it, the pastor right now is saying, go for it, do what you need to do. And I, you know, I took that as I should keep on going with what I'm planning to do.
So did you have misgivings about starting the group?
Not necessarily misgivings. I just had thought it was a lot of work.
Got it.
Right. And I was like, you know, it's another thing on my plate. I still got two toddlers at home. I still got a full-time job, you know, and the kids have activities and all this other stuff. And so, yeah, it wasn't that I was having misgivings. It was just that I, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to put on your plate.
When you think about, so in terms of what distinguishes your group, and you're right, because anytime you start any kind of organization, there's so much that you have to put in to get it up from the ground. So what can someone expect? They're going through, they're beginning their own journey, or maybe they are a relative and they have a relative who's going through. What could someone expect to experience or take away from your organization?
So right now we are still in the startup stages, and I'm looking for mentors. But what I hope to do is be able to match people up with mentors that they can either, you know, select through criteria that they choose. Like, you know, this person's kind of going through a similar situation as I am. Let me talk to them. And have that one-on-one connection. I do some of that now with through Glens Falls Hospital. Like, they will call me and say, we have a patient, she'd like to talk to somebody, do you mind if we give her your number? I said, that's fine. And then the hospital actually told me about the American Cancer Society's Reach to Recovery program, so I joined them as a volunteer as well. But you can't, when you go into like their volunteer portal, I can't choose someone based on color, right?
Yeah.
I can't choose someone based on culture or
yeah.
heritage or, you know, so and I feel like that's the piece that's missing. I feel like there's not anything geared towards BIPOC communities and individuals who have the needs of people of color.
Yeah.
And I want people from all aspects of life, right? Because breast cancer doesn't just touch women. It affects all people, men,
yeah.
women, transgender, you know, whatever gender, everybody. And you know, and I wanted some place where somebody like my husband, who was helping me through this, if he was interested in getting help or talking to somebody, just saying, you know, my wife is going, what can I do for her?
Right.
You know, so that's a little bit different, right? Most mentor programs are geared towards just the patient. I want this program to be geared towards the people in the patient's life who are affected by cancer. And so, you know, I want it to be culturally sensitive. You know, and when I say that, I mean, like, you know, more Hispanic women die from breast cancer than white or Black women. It's the leading cause of cancer deaths in Hispanic women. You know, Black women are, you know, more likely to die or get triple negative breast cancer than white women. So there's a lot out there that kind of relates to a person's ancestry. And, you know, I want them to be able to find that information when they, and we haven't built the site yet, we're still working on it, but I want them to be able to find the information and those resources. I want to do that digging for people so they don't have to do it when they're trying to go through this themselves.
Right.
You know, it's a one-stop shop. I can find a mentor here. Great. I can find resources. Great. I can attend an educational workshop. Wonderful. You know, I can learn more about African Americans and breast cancer, or more about breast cancer in transgender people. So, you know, I really want it to be inclusive and,
yeah.
like I said, culturally sensitive. And I think that's going to be the major differentiation.
Natalie, we're going to take one quick break. And be right back in a second.
Oh, yes!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
For those listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Natalie Monroe. She is the D&I Operations Specialist and ERG Coordinator at General Dynamics Mission System. Natalie is also the founder of Embrace and Empower, Inc., a nonprofit organization. And Natalie was just talking about her organization and how she's right now building it up to create that bridge for those BIPOC individuals who have maybe received their diagnosis, maybe there's a loved one and they need to get resources and information that can help them in a very specific way. So a lot of work is going into this, Natalie, a lot of work. When you think about who you are today, it's a year later of a lot.
A lot. And I'm still going through it. The journey's still, the treatment part of it is over. I went through chemo. I did not end up having to do radiation because they got everything during the mastectomy. So I was happy about that. While it's not a cure, now I have no evidence of disease. So, that has been done. I've had reconstruction surgery. I just had that in August of this year. I have to have an oophorectomy because I am BRCA2 positive, which means I'm at higher risk for ovarian cancer. So I have to have my ovaries and tubes removed. So there's just a lot, like things you don't think about. I'm so glad I'm over my childbearing years, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And it makes you feel like, I felt like I was just kind of dying there. Internally there was, I felt like a lack of purpose, I guess. Work was work, but not the same. My family obviously was a purpose, but, and this giving back has really kind of, and I think that's kind of what prompted this too, is, when I started helping people or talking to people that the hospital referred to me, I thought, I like this. I'm not doing anything. I'm not giving medical advice. I'm listening. That's what they need. Somebody who understands, somebody who's going through the same thing, who's going through those challenges, who can understand that, I've got to take this drug for the next 5 years and it makes my body feel lousy, or, I have to get, nipple tattoos, or, I want to, it put me into early menopause. So, there's just a whole host of things that, you don't think about when you think about cancer and the side effects. So it's a long journey. But I feel like that aspect of me helping out other people is really part of my own healing journey.
Wow. Your strength, Natalie, I think about the tremendous strength that you have. Because like you just said, your journey is continuing. I mean, to mention that you're going to have to face another set of more surgeries, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not broken. You're here, you're smiling. I remember I ran into you at an event earlier, a couple of weeks ago, and you were smiling, you're in good spirits. And if you hadn't told me, I would not have known. And so you have been able to, still in the midst of all that you've gone through, still maintain your sense of your wonderful spirit. And, I always say too, that people are allowed to have their days, because, sometimes people think that, you hear, and I've heard this too. And I have to tell you, sometimes I feel like when people say, and they never complain, I'm like, but what if they did? So what?
Right. Oh,
What
and
if
I
they did?
did.
Like, as if to say that is a badge of honor that you must shoulder something that you're going through and not complain. We all have days. We all have days when we cry. We all have days when we're like, this is too much. We all have days when we're like, and there's nothing, it doesn't take away from your courage or your bravery or any of that because you had a day where you just felt like this is too much.
Right. And I've had those days, believe you me. I have cried, eaten myself silly, and at the end of the day, it's just a way to get what I'm feeling out. And now that I've done that, okay, but it's time to move on. Pick up and regroup. Let's keep going.
Tell me a little bit. You mentioned that it was through the BlackShares Leadership Accelerator program that you were able to sort of get your foot in with this. Tell me a little bit. You graduated from this program.
I
And
did.
yeah, so tell me a little bit about that.
So it was great. Actually, I was a little nervous going in. But like I said, I didn't have any idea of what my project would be, so to speak. And I had a list of them and I wrote them down and then talked to the mentors and I was like, oh, okay. And then it just kind of jumped out at me like, hey, this is your project. But the leadership was great. Getting to know the community again, because I had done the Berkshire's leadership program a long time ago. And I think doing the Blackshear's Leadership Accelerator was seeing things through a different perspective. Definitely seeing the Berkshires through the lens of people of color and, how far. I think the disparities, I guess, the differences in things. But also the positive aspect of seeing other people in the cohort that were of color and doing positive things to make an impact in our community. You sometimes you look around in Pittsfield and I think to myself, where are the people that are doing stuff? Right? Like, I want that. I want that. I want to be part of that. And so, and there are different ways to get involved. Like there's the NAACP, Women of Color, all of that stuff. But I just felt like, yeah, that wasn't for me. And then I found the BlackShares Leadership Accelerator. And I thought, this is awesome because, they took us out into the community. We got to meet with diverse, networking groups. We got to meet with other local businesses and also, just talking amongst ourselves as a group of Black professionals who are trying to do something, uplift each other. So it was an awesome feeling and really generated some much needed, I think, hope and encouragement for those of us that wanted to make a difference in the Berkshires.
And I think, Natalie, to your point, I always say there's a lid for every pot, right? I know it sounds real simple, but you get in where you fit in, right? And so there's so many different groups, and it's about finding where you feel like you can make a contribution, and also where you think you're getting the most out of it. You want to be able to, especially when time is such a commodity, and very limited for so many of us. You want to be able to do something and give up your time and your energy in something that you feel is most impactful to you. And I think that's the beauty. You find it, there's so much available here. And if any encouragement too, for people to look into what's out there so they can make an informed opinion of what they want to get into. And you found your place with the BlackShares Leadership Accelerator program. And I mean, I've been kind of seeing so many good success stories coming out of that program. So many individuals, they graduate and they have so many great stories to share, like yourself. So, I mean, it seems like, again, it's needed, and there's always an opportunity for people to have and establish a program that creates a wider awareness and makes people feel seen and taps into that. So I hear it. I love it.
Yes.
So, we're winding down the hour, but I mean, I think about your story, Natalie. I think about how you never stopped. With all that you have gone through, you never really stopped. You kept going. How do you find rest? And what does rest look like for you?
So, rest, what's that? I think that this journey through breast cancer has really taught me the importance of self-care. Because, I know it's cliched, but they say if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. And so that has really resonated with me throughout this journey. So I try to make the time to do things for myself or with my husband or with my kids that kind of feed that inner need for me to rest, so to speak. Whether it's just cuddling on the couch with my baby or taking the kids to their activities and watching the joy on their faces as they practice gymnastics, going line dancing with my sister-in-law, little things. And part of that has also been going to the gym. Our hospital here in Glens Falls offers a program through the YMCA, and I started doing that, and I found that working out has really also been a great part of this healing journey. I use that time to kind of reflect on my health. I use that time to, it's also my alone time. Sometimes I take the kids with me. They go to, the playroom and I go to work out. Sometimes they don't go, but that's part of that healing process for me, the working out and, just finding time to be in the moment, right? I think a lot of us are so caught up in what we're doing and posting it right to Facebook or this or that or, and I try to make it a point now to not have my camera with me when I'm doing things with my family. If somebody wants to take a picture, that's fine, but I'm not going to be the one taking the picture. I want to be the one enjoying what we're doing. So, it's little things like that. Reading books. I used to love to read, kind of got out of it, and I've gotten back into it with, all of this that's going on. And I don't care if it's 15 minutes while the kids are at class or, 10 minutes in the car while I'm sitting in the car before I come in the house. That 10 minutes is time for me to reflect, calm my mind, do something that I want to do.
Natalie, I love that you have identified different ways to get what you need. And I think that's empowering to others who are listening too, that it's not waiting for the time and the opportunity to drop in your lap. Be intentional about your rest. Be intentional about your space, carving that out, whatever you want that to look like. Be intentional about it so that you can refill your cup in some way. Natalie, you continue to refill your cup so you can be there for your beautiful family. Continue smiling, continue to do this work. If people want to stay connected with you to learn more about embrace and empower, what ways can you suggest that they do so?
They can follow me on LinkedIn, and it's just my name, Natalie Monroe. I have started a Facebook page for Embrace and Empower, but there's nothing on it yet, so we're still working that. But they can email me, NRALMASI at gmail.com, and I can, talk to them. And, I just want to put this out there. I'm not here to help just people of color. I'm here to help everybody and anybody affected by breast cancer. My program is designed for people of color, yes, because that's where I felt the need most was. But if someone has breast cancer and they want to talk, they can reach out to me. If someone, needs advice on where to go to look for information, they can reach out to me. If someone wants to cry, they can reach out to me. It's what I'm here for. And, I reflect on how far I've come through this journey and the goals that I've put in place for myself every day, and I'm amazed at it. And I think that's really all it is, right? Is setting yourself up for those little things that you can achieve, taking it a moment, a step at a time, not trying to bite off more than you can chew. Like sometimes that was me, right? And, one of the little things that I taught myself during this journey too is just to kind of set aside that time in the morning and afternoon before and after work. I do that. I have it on blocked off on my calendar, 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after. Just kind of regroup, right? Get my mind right, transitioning from work to family. Get myself organized for the next day so I'm prepared. And a lot of that helps. That helps me. You know, I want to say that it's just a step in my journey. That's all these are steps. And every step counts. And that's how you get to where you're going.
And Natalie, my closing question, if you had to choose one word to describe you, what would it be?
So resilient.
Okay.
I had to call my sister and ask her because I was like, oh, what word would you use to describe me?
Okay.
She was like, well, if I wanted to say it nicely, I'd say passionate.
Okay.
I said, okay. I said, yeah, I am determined. That's what I would say too. But yes, resilient. I bounce back and I will continue to bounce back no matter what life throws at me. And I think that everybody can and should find a way to get their bounce back.
Natalie, thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you so much for being a beacon for others who are going through. It's not an easy journey. Everything that you just talked about today, I'm like, wow, and there's more to come. And you're still here and you're still willing to share of yourself. So I just want to thank you for your generosity of spirit and your kindness. It has been a real pleasure. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Roberta. Thank you for having me. And thank you for allowing me to share my story.
You are most welcome. Everyone, you've been listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBR Pittsville with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. I hope you have a great day.